probably better.
This is the meeting of the Recovery Plan Review Committee. Today is May the 13th, Wednesday, May 13th, and the time is, should be 2 p.m. The time is 2 p.m., and meeting is now in session.
Still an hour behind?
No, you're supposed to replace the battery.
That's okay.
Don't do it right now, Carlos.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay. We're going to call the Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, May the 13th, and the time is 2 o'clock. Those present are Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Richardson. We have staff members, Valerie Brown, Carlos Pizarro, Brenda Goodman, Executive Director Brent Stevenson, and we have
Annette Brown,
who is a volunteer.
Yes.
So, welcome.
Thank you.
Any questions on the agenda? Anybody want to make any additions or changes? If not, we will proceed with the agenda as submitted. Okay, approval of the minutes of the last meeting. Commissioner Smith?
I had three little items, grammatical things that everything else looked fine to me.
Okay, all grammatical changes?
Yeah.
Okay, the changes have been submitted by Commissioner Smith, which are basically grammatical changes that have to be changed on the minutes. Any further unreadiness or anything? If not, we'll accept the minutes as distributed. Next order of business is old business, and we'll go right into the recovery plan update. Turn it over to the executive director.
Okay. All righty, with the sale of LHA properties, as you all know, the Alba Matter property is still on hold, although we had a couple of people who expressed some interest, like the Willie Horton nonprofit group, but again, that's just all preliminary right now, so that probably still basically on hold. With the 10th Street property, had a good meeting with the potential buyer. They have basically signed the contract with Circle K, and so they basically said that they are ready to go. They're just waiting on court approval. And once they get that, then they will submit their application to the city for its zoning. And again, they are cautiously optimistic that they're going to go there.
Be just a regular Circle K or with gasoline?
With gasoline. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they also, for what they're telling me, I haven't seen the design, they're going to leave space for potential partners. Our partners in the future on that particular site. This is going to have Silver K take a portion of the site, probably the portion that's closest to 10th Street and 98, and then leave some space where they can add some commercial for some future partners. And that rolls into the second one with the Paul A. Dick Neighborhood Association.
Circle K. What kind of commitment have they made? Did they end a temporary purchase and sale or anything in place, or they just made a verbal agreement to move forward?
They actually signed a contract with the potential buyer.
Okay, all right.
To purchase the.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, so basically the $1.3 million is locked in, provided we get HUD approval.
Okay, HUD approval and zoning.
Right.
Can't forget that, can we?
Right. And as you all know, I've been meeting, like I said, with various people in the community, positive meetings with city staff, the neighborhood liaison person, Lance Simpkins, NAACP, and one of the resident leaders. I think they're kind of just waiting to see where things go before they put in their support. And then I had another meeting with the president of the Paul A. Diggs Association. And Benny just had an in-depth discussion with him about the realities of Hope Six. That's a once-in-a-lifetime grant award, and that the money that was allocated for commercial development have been spent, and HUD is not going to allow us to use for any other purpose except affordable housing. And we got proposals in the HUD to use those remaining funds for that particular purpose. And even if we were to say get another Hope Six, we couldn't spend the money on that same site. So, and I think that is starting to sink in. And the reason I say that is because he invited me to come to the next Neighbor Association meeting and to speak. And I'll take some of the preliminary drawings from Williamstown, you know, just to show them what the money, what the Hope Six fund will be spent on, so they'll see those designs. And that'll be the first in a series of community meetings that I'll start having, just to advise folks of what we are planning to do, because we do have three development projects that's in the works, although they're still very preliminary. We still want to just try and get community input as much as we can, and so that they can hopefully buy into what we're trying to do and support it. And I did have, speaking of Williamstown, I had a visit from the president of the Homeowners Association for the
Foxwood Village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trailer community. And he just wanted to know what kind of housing is going to be built there. And I thought it's going to be workforce housing. And he said, what does that mean? I said, that is housing for the working poor. And that's because that's the clientele that we serve. And we're going to have a preference for veterans. And he said his concern was with the kids, because they already had an issue with kids on all of the property. And I said, well, we have a our own property management arm that manages our properties. And when we have issues where, like, say, if kids get arrested or those types of things, you know, we enforce the lease provisions. And our number one goal is to be good neighbors. We want good neighbors, and we're going to be good neighbors. And I gave him my card, told him, you know, if you got any questions, feel free to give him a call. And if you want me to come and speak at one of your homeowner association meetings, let me know. I'd be more than happy to do that. And I told him that the design is similar to what Salvation Army did at their new facility up on Mark. I think I get a time that Griffin would get multiple center for that. Yeah. And as of yesterday, it may not be day before.
Yeah, well.
I think it was yesterday. Wasn't it yesterday? It was one day this week. Well, as of the day of the meeting, he seemed to be okay with my responses. Now that may change.
I never knew exactly where that property was. I rode out there after I met with you last week. I rode out there to see if I could find it. That's a very nice piece of property.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, once you clean some of the trees off of there, build something.
Yeah, right. That's a very nice piece of property, well located.
And I think, and this is typical. Whenever a house doesn't get ready to do some development, everybody's going like, you know, what do you got to do? What do you got to do?
Oh, yeah.
But then once they see the product, they usually feel a little better. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that's going to be the case here, because everybody's going to be cautious until they see what's actually there.
I don't know how far this is. It's right at the beginning of Foxwood Village where you enter into their property. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far you have to go before you start hitting residents. So if you're worried about kids, you know.
Yeah.
But well, if you're talking about children, if it's 2 miles, they'll walk to it.
I was more concerned about the property just across the street.
Mm-hmm. The newer one.
Right. That's a lot closer than Foxwood.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is a kind of a first shot across the bow from some of the neighbors that you might get a little resistance. But I think it's, I think you're doing the right thing. Damage control up front
is more important than waiting.
So.
Yeah.
But that's a good, I agree with Commissioner Smith. It's a nice location. It's a nice plot of land. Could be really nice. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
No problem. And I'm thinking that when I meet with the Pauley Dig Association, I'm going to give them that same dose of reality, is that, you know, the HOPE-6 funds, they better spend it. And what may or may not have been promised, because as I was explaining to the president, that traditionally, you know, because I wasn't here, but traditionally the way those things are done is that you have the community, you meet with the community, you select a list of projects, and then they vote on which one they want to see. And it seems to me like that incubator got voted out at the end, because otherwise it would have been funded, since they had the money at that time. And so, and that traditionally how it's done, and even so, is not coming back now. And I explained to them that all these other businesses talk about wanting to come there, hey, that's just not realistic. And one, we, the housing authority, can't be the lead on commercial development. We can support it if someone else, you know, wants to be the lead and the like. And I told them, you know, we're open to, like, with some land on another one of our sites, should they find some funding or find some partners who are willing to fund it, we'll be more than happy to talk with them. And that if they think stopping this is going to get something to come there, it's probably going to take another 15, 20 years. Because, you know, that's just the reality of that particular lot. Because even if they were to find someone, because the city is wanting to settle for below the appraised value, HUD is not going to allow us to do that. They're not going to allow us to sell that land for below the appraised value. I just don't see that happening. And we were somewhat successful with that with Arbor Manor because of the environmental cleanup issue that was there. And that was the difference between the sales price and the appraised value. But that those things that stuff that don't exist at that particular site. So. Okay. So that's those two.
Just an update on, you know, I'm involved in so many different things. I hear a lot.
Okay.
Let's try that Arbondale property with the Woolly Horton. Was interested in
Arbondale?
Were they interested in 10th Street?
Oh,
Woolly Horton was interested in which lot?
Well, he wasn't interested in the first 10th Street and 10th in Florida.
Right.
But I told him that's on the contract.
Okay.
And what, so I showed him the other 10th Street and Arbor Manor.
Okay.
But I also told him that that 10th Street is currently targeted for ALF.
Okay.
And I said, but we may not use all 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And then I showed him Arbor Manor. And they appeared to be very interested. And he called me either this early part of this week or another part of last week from Detroit.
Yeah.
Again, expressing interest.
Yeah, well, he came back, and the report that I got is that they sat with the owners of the Detroit Tigers, their lawyers and their finance people, the CFO, and they kind of committed that they would support Willie Horton in anything he wants to develop here in Lakeland.
Okay.
I don't know to what extent. They didn't put any dollars on the table, but they see what kind of support. So it was a positive meeting. So
maybe it's an attaboy.
I'll tell you one thing,
we'll write a letter for you, maybe.
Yeah,
but it'll be interesting to see what he comes back with.
Yeah, because the group they took from Lakeland, they flew him up to Detroit, took him to the game, and they were in the president's
box. Oh, yeah, they were there, wine and dine
the game. Yeah. And, you know, I offered, you know, whatever assistance I could them, because they're in the very preliminary stages of it. And I told them, you know, I'll work with them to come with some pricing and all types of things. But
it just may be, maybe a blessing coming our way. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, time will tell. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's the important. I'm not saying no to any partners right now. So,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the PHA transfer update, We're still on course, you know, for that transfer at the end of this month, the 31st. We tend to have preliminary meetings with that director, and I would like that they've been positive meetings. And I know I gave you all a little outline. You have that outline there?
This one here?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I guess this is it.
Yeah. And basically, what this is going to do is just let them know where we are. Because these are just bullet points. I'm not going to sit in this format. I'm going to, you know, dress it up and do an actual report to them. But these will be the key points in what that 6 months that I give to them. That we're currently doing drawdowns on a regular basis, you know, which keeps the helps with the cash flow, and we currently have some commitments, you know, for the RHF and Hope 6 funds, and we completed 72 of the 73 credit action plan requirements. We passed three limited management reviews by HUD last year. Audits have been completed on time, and we've improved scores. They're projected, you know, scores of high performance on CMAP and FOS. We got confirmation on Warren Carlos.
CMAP.
On CMAP,
FOS, they have this the scores, but they haven't published them yet.
And as you know, we have a balanced budget. Arkansas Fund Report is greatly improved. Oral health of the agency continues to improve. And as proof of that, if you look at these two documents here, okay, this is what was submitted to HUD this month. One is back to the trial balance. And you look down there, see the due to the public housing. Is now $3.194 million. That was down from $4.14 million at the beginning of last year and $3.4 million at the end of last year. So that's an improvement of $241,000, almost $242,000 this year. Okay, and that's without the sale of the properties are HUD approving the uncollected public housing fees.
Okay, now this is trial balance. This is trial balance of what now?
That's public. It's the actual public housing ledger. So
as of March. As of March 2015.
Right.
So this is just public housing trial balance.
Right. Then the properties, I guess when you see it, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 9, those numbers across that show you everything related to public housing.
Those are the app.
But what this is, this is the balance of the debt that's owed to public housing, okay? And that's the reason we're in recovery. And it is going down, okay? Slowly but surely. And part of the conversation I had with the Director of the Dashboard Office is that this repayment schedule, it is very aggressive and unrealistic if HUD is not willing to work with us for a creative solution, meaning let us count the sales of the properties and a few other things. And he agreed with that because he said he's seen where HUD has given another house for 30 to 40 years to pay back something using your developer fee, property management fees, and the like. And he said that's especially true when no money was stolen. And so basically what I'm saying is that he's open to looking at everything that we submitted and giving us more time, okay? You know, provided that we need it. And because Miami hasn't said anything one way or the other with what we submitted. And he's also going to look at the uncollected public housing fees to see if we can count that and the like. And so, cautiously optimistic about that. And so, because he's, you know, saying all the right things, and we seem to be on the same page in terms.
Yeah, because if we don't put those things out there, like those management fees that we didn't collect that we can use to offset, you know, if we don't bring up, they're certainly not.
They're not going to. That's for sure.
Right.
That's for sure.
And so, And also I told them, going back to this sheet here, talking about our upcoming development projects with Williamstown, Westlake, and the 10th Street ALF. And yeah, we're going to start a series of community meetings and the like. And he thought all that was a good idea and a good strategy, because he agrees that we got to do development if we're going to reduce this debt. There's no way around it. And so, and he said that HUD has got to be open to some creative solutions to it as well. And so that's the best I can ask for at this point, you know, with them, so. And with Westlake, we have got the draft MDA from Saxon Gilmore, and we are currently reviewing it, and then we're going to have a discussion with them at the latter part of this week, and then we'll probably send it to the developer for their comments. And then once we agree on with Saxon on Westlake, then they'll draft the one for the 10th Street ALF. They already have all the information, you know, to do that. So, anything you want to add, Valerie or Carlos?
Just.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, I talk too much. That's why I wasn't going to say anything. But as far as the Williamstown property, we've been meeting with the Veterans Administration to talk about what it would mean to have various preferences for veterans, how that impacts our selection criteria, what would be the feasibility of having all the units housed or a portion of the units housed, and what type of clientele would be there. And they're very excited about it. They had made suggestions of several events that they would actually like to see us come to let the community know that we're planning to do this community at Williamstown and provide a preference for veterans, so that the veteran community can really be supportive.
And that they will also be maybe going with us to the PUD meetings, and, you know, they're going to fill the rooms and make sure that everybody knows that, you know, veterans are here and they're, you know, here to help.
There's a need for it.
Yeah. So, we talk about the meeting with the city.
Yeah. So they're really excited too about the project.
Okay. Anything else pertaining to this update? Okay. What's this one?
No, the next one is the monthly financials, which is the one you got that's
this package.
This is what was in your board packet. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll turn it over to Valerie.
Valerie can walk us through that.
Okay, well, we'll always start with the infamous Central Office Cost Center. And then, even though we have a positive cash flow for the year, we had a loss for the month, and part of that is still going through the process of trying to get all the payroll that should be allocated to FSS reposted. We've been having to do it manually since we hadn't been able to get the interface with Yardi and Paycheck to work so we can go ahead and draw down those funds. So as soon as that is completed, we've got half of the months posted, but where the staff is in the process of trying to reclassify the other month and a half so that we can go ahead and make drawdowns. And then once that happens, staff realizes that the interface is not going to work, so we'll just do it manually moving forward. But we're having to catch up. That's part of the issue. The other part is both of our grants, where you're getting money into COCC, are reimbursement based only. So it's not like we can get cash on hand to actually see the account. So we have two choices when we talked with Ray, because we have a master account. We do get into negative balances. Well, we have three choices. Or in the presentation of it, depending on what you want to publish to the public, you can zero everything out. Then you move the money to the accounts payables, and then you adjust it back the next month so that you don't do like I did this month and show negative numbers. The other thing that people do is what we've been doing for the past couple of years, which was taking money from non-federal, putting it in the county.
Yes.
And I haven't wanted to do that because that's how
we
spent
a million.
That's how we spent a million dollars. So what I'm hoping is that once we get able to catch up the billings to HUD on FSS and draw that down in the locks, because right now we're in a position, we have, if you're looking at the negative balance on cash and COCC, you know, you're looking at negative balances of $12,500. Well, I have $25,000 in payroll. I haven't been able to bill to FSS, the check that needs to come in. So that's that will make a big difference. It may not clear up all the negative balances, but it wouldn't necessarily be where you see, you know, negative $12,500, negative $6,000. Because that's 3 months of.
And what's stopping you from doing the billing right now? The interface?
Well, the interface, we thought it was interfacing, but it wasn't picking it up. So we're having to go back and do it manually, but I'm still down to a person and a half. We're trying to fill that position. As far as the fee accountant, we ended up having to let that company go because they were trying to, of course, they had a contract for a rate of what they were supposed to do monthly. And then if anything had to be revised, and they wanted to send you hourly bills for that. So, you know, once you start getting into that, you're going to double the contract. So we ended up just having to settle with them and having them exit the contract. So the 1.5 people that I have working now are trying to catch up the payroll so I can do all the billing.
So is there a lot of interest?
Well, with it's not necessarily that it's a lot of interest because it's not a bunch of people charged to FSS, but it's the fact that it didn't. You have to go search for it. They have to search through the whole payroll register, how it's set up. The way Paychex does it, it defaults you to a particular department, and then you can try to put in there that you have different hours. But it's not going to show up the cost, and the person has to manually take all the hours that you allocated your time to, pull out the ones associated with that, and then calculate. It's not actually doing it. So they're using Excel to literally come up with those numbers.
Okay, doing an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. So that's, and still trying to do day-to-day bills, paying, cutting checks.
Are we in a position to fill that one or half of staff that you need?
We have been doing interviews, and then we have had some temporary labor to come in and help with some of the account payables items to free up the ladies to be able to focus on the more difficult tasks. So they're close. It's just
okay. When we're showing this negative, where did the money come from? The checks didn't bounce, so where did the money come from?
Well, you have a master's account. So
okay.
This is COCC is a sub account.
Okay.
So what happens is
you have a master account.
Right. So what happens is doing a temporary interfund, but you don't get penalized for that as long as you know it's resolved within 90 days. These interfunds that you see here, stuff that's been outstanding well above
the
90 days. As long as you resolve it in the 90 days, we're okay. It's especially when you're doing a master account with sub accounts. That's allowable under GAAP is when you get beyond that 90 days.
But you say some of this is beyond the 90 days. So.
No. On the big one, what we're saying, what we're saying we owe three points, what we get judged by HUD for, as long as it's resolved in 90 days, we're good. Once you get to that 120th day, then they start getting concerns. Why aren't you catching up on your billings? Why is it? So it doesn't go against, even though we've been doing this for a while, it's not going against our interfund account. That's why you've seen the reduction from 4.1 million to 3.4 to 3.1.
So again, it begs the question, when the new software comes on board, are we going to have the same problem?
Well, we're not going to use Paychex. What we're planning to do is just have all of the software and the payroll HR system be the same emphasis so we don't have to worry about an interface issue.
Yeah.
So it'll break it out as to what's being allocated to each section.
Mm-hmm. Right, when the time is approved by the supervisor, it's going to...
goes to where it's supposed to be.
In the system, instead of having...
There's no...
How close are we to that?
Well, again, it's going to, for us to transition from Yardi to Emphasis, it would be August before.
Yeah, August 31st is the cutoff.
Yeah, I know, we were hoping earlier than that. That's the reason we changed the August.
I know, but we
want to make sure that it's done right.
No, well, I got it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but we also want to get it done as quick as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right now, the same staff is doing day-to-day, and it's the same ones who have to sit in the software.
I hear you.
I know.
I hear you.
A capacity issue.
And temp won't help you on that.
Well, temp help.
It's more expensive, but kind of.
Yeah. Well, they got
to know what they're doing.
Yeah, we have.
Well, I'm talking about getting somebody that really knows accounts.
Yeah, we've gotten people to train, but again, they said they have to get familiar with the system. Hmm. So we've been using temp help from this company AJ O'Neill for a while. So they're familiar with our business, but you still have to keep them on the simple stuff. When it comes down to...
Well, I'm thinking of flipping it. Bring the temporary help to do the simple stuff and use your staff to do the more difficult.
That's what we're doing.
Do you need more? No, I'm serious. I mean, if it's going to cut the time, and you know, it might cost a little more money, but if you can meet the deadline, or beat it, it's worth the investment.
Yeah, to get the scores where they need to be, and to get the reports where they need to be.
Well, we're pushing, hopefully, by Monday to have the Section A account person here
in place.
So that's
going to be the biggest help. Mm-hmm. That's 1,200 units with landlords that we have.
And then the finance manager, we have more interviews scheduled for tomorrow, so hopefully we will.
And also, I don't want y'all to think we just trying to delay this. We're not.
Oh, no, that wasn't the implication.
No, we don't think you're trying to do that. We're just trying to figure a way to do it quicker.
You know, sometimes when you're doing it day-to-day, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, and somebody else looking at it might see something a little bit more differently.
And we've involved more staff with working with the transition, because I've gotten involved, the fund advisor's gotten involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to be a time-consuming process.
All right.
And number one thing is that we want stuff to be accurate. And so, you know, that's the most important thing. It's got to be accurate.
Yeah. And I will say, despite the fact that we've had changes in staff and reduction in staff and had a consultant and had to pull them out, and then, because I mean, BDO started January, BDO was gone by March 31st, auditors here last week. And despite all of that, we had a pretty positive report. They were able to get through the files really quickly. They felt like we were more organized, and they feel like we could actually submit the FDS before September. They're talking about July, August, because the people who appear have done a lot of work to clean things up, but they have to go from accounts payables to payroll to audit to taxes. It's the same set of people, which is something that it wasn't before when we actually had a finance department.
Okay.
And they still have their operations duties on Carlos's side as assistant manager. So, you know, that's the issue that we're up against. So actually hiring the person for the Section 8 accounting, because that's our biggest program, 1,200 units, that's going to make a big difference. Because I have called in, like the lady that I introduced you to at the board meeting, Stephanie Holbrook, who helped Ray with the FDS. I mean, I've had to use her more trying to catch up other things too, and day-to-day, just to keep up.
Okay.
But on the, so I guess, if we don't have any more questions in reference to CFCC, I'll go ahead and go to Section 8. Well, Section 8, the order of the board report is Section 8 next. I think the narrative, we work it so quick that we get them out of order sometimes. But Section 8 is the next set of financials. with Section 8, again, Section 8 has the FSS coordinator, so when you look at the revenue being lower than what was projected, that part problem is me being able to bill it in ELOCs. But overall, once we actually get that FSS funding, then the admin side of the Section 8.
Okay. Do we know the numbers on the FSS, what they are? Or that's what we're trying to do to get get it from ELOCs.
We know what the number is that we can bill per month, but you actually have to have payrolls to support that. So paychecks is not going to show. If I send her what we have in paychecks, it's going to show FSS and I have hours, no dollar value. Also, it's posting it to the wrong grant year. It interfaced. It tried to post it, but it posted it to another grant. Okay. So we're actually having to pull it out of that grant, put it in the correct grant.
Okay. But if we know the number, can't we apply to LOCs to get the money?
No, because you have to have HUD is very
strict. You've got to submit the documentation.
You have to submit.
I know sometimes on some of those LOCs things, you submit that, and only if they have questions, you have to submit.
On the Department of Labor,
mm-hmm. not with HUD. For every draw now with HUD, since they consolidated the capital fund rule, when I submit an ELOCs, I have to have the payroll for backup for stuff we self-perform. Yeah. I have to have the contracts and the invoice for anything a contractor does, because people were trying to show their money is being obligated or expended, but they didn't have, and then they were going to do the contract. Yeah. They ended up not obligating or expending the money, it gets recaptured. So now, before they will put the money in your account, they have to see proof of the service.
Okay, I know. We have a service coordinator grant, and we could submit, you know, and only if they went to Jacksonville for review before it went to. Went to LOCs, and if they had a question, they'd hit it to Jacksonville. But usually, we'd know right then when we submitted it whether it was going to go through or not. They'd say, you know, yeah or no.
But they changed everything for 2015.
Okay.
Right.
2014, actually, the money for Section 8 for the FSS was coming with the HAB money.
Directly.
Now they changed it, so they want the salary schedule, they want, you know, everything. So, yeah.
And it's accepted. Every time I put in a draw, they'll say accepted but under review. The only thing that they give you without reviewing now is operating subsidy if you draw down exactly the amount that they allocated you per month.
Okay.
But everything else, you have to actually have the backup to submit with, and the person who's responsible for your grants review it, and then they release it in life.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to catch up on.
Okay.
So
anything else on Section 8?
Yeah, that's it on Section 8. So unless you have any questions, we can go to public housing. And so public housing is definitely doing well. We've had, you know, actual gains for the year. So nothing significant for public housing. The only thing that'll show up in our audit on the audited financials will be that the fact that we do have an interfund of 3.1, well, as of December 31st, 2014, it was 3.3 million from this item, line item 144 on this backup that Dan gave us, the $3,359,837. Mm-hmm. That number may produce a finding just because the interfund is so great, but we do have a recovery plan that we've submitted. It's under review. So if you look on this sheet, there's a number 144 that has inter-program due from.
That's
the number that's in the system for your audited financials as of 12/31/2014. So that's what we'll be judged by this year when we do the submission on or before September 30th, 2015.
And it's a concern, kind of like a finding. However, doesn't affect the score for the financial section of the FAS, because we still have plenty of money for public housing. So.
Right. So as far as the audit of public housing, the files were good. They were happy with it, but the interfund, because we have it, puts a ding on it. There's nothing we can really do about that until we pay off the interim. Okay, Dakota Park. It has positive income of $40,000 for the year, but it's been a double-edged sword for us because our subsidy went from $6,000 to $3,000 this month, so cut in half.
That's your reward.
When you, when you do good, you get cut.
Right.
So in about June to September, I'm going to be taking all the employees to on vacation. So, you know, just kidding.
You wish.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Renaissance. Yeah, it is. Let's see, Colton's looking. Colton, Bonin, and Bartow look great. So.
Yeah.
So those are really the items that we have to clean up. Are COCC and Section 8 related. Section 8 will be simple once we catch up on the posting of the payrolls. And like I said, we have someone moving forward.
All that's on the FSS stuff. Yeah.
On the FSS, yeah.
Get that cleaned up, everything over.
Right, everything
else. It'll look a whole lot better.
Yeah,
because like I said, it hurts when you know that there's $25,000 you could have in your COCC right now when it's showing a negative 12, but you can't draw it down. You don't have the backup to draw it down.
Mm. Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay.
Well, I won't be here at the meeting by this, so y'all should have a quick meeting.
Plus, you got everything in enough time to read them. So.
That's right. That's right.
Any comments so you can shoot them into us?
I had that one about the
procurement. Just that one. That's all.
That's been answered. So.
Anything else, Ben? That
just
you might have.
Okay.
Well, I think we're making progress. Inch by inch. As we keep going forward, I know that you're doing. The staff is working super, super hard, and we appreciate that, but sometimes that's what you have to do, and we just appreciate what you're doing, so.
Thank you. Once you get that FSS thing, you won't know what to do with all your spare time.
I don't know about spare time.
I'm kidding.
We do some development. All right, anything that we might expect coming up at the board meeting that will impact anything that we've reported on here?
No. Well, there's one thing that I'm not going to do this board meeting because I don't have to, but I can tell you the history. One thing that came up last month was the issue with Garmin-Hopkins. Everybody felt uncomfortable about that resolution. Doing the research on it, I just didn't have time to write it up and get it in your board package, and I still got money to pay them, so I said I'll save it for next month. But the issue was in that the board chairman at the time had requested Berman Hopkins to do those procedures. I guess that was before I got here.
Yeah.
They did not issue a change order or amendment to their contract to cover for it. That cost $40,000. So actually, last year when we did the write-up for Berman Hopkins, we actually had them give us an engagement letter for not only 2013 audited financials, but 2014 that will be performed in calendar year 2015, the $75,000. That price still holds. My problem is that I'm short because we spent $40,000 on Berman Hopkins on something that's not in a task order or an agreement that was...
Stop paying it.
Berman Hopkins did send me where they were directed to do those procedures for the prior board, and so I can modify the resolution as for the $40,000, but show that was something directed to them to do by the board chair. We just never, no one went back and did an amendment to ask them to to put it in the contract. So that's why I'm coming up short, or we'll come up short before I get the financial.
The board chair didn't follow procedures.
Yeah. Well, he wanted that to serve as a forensic audit. And I was like, no, that's not going to serve as a forensic audit. So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we need to explain that.
Right, and that's why I said I really need to change the resolution to discuss that inside of everything that was happening, there was a question about whether or not we needed to bring in a forensic auditor. So the independent auditor was asked to look at our procedures. They did it under the agreement that they had, but there was no money added to the agreement.
And that was done prior to me being hired.
To everybody as well. Yeah.
So.
What
you got?
Old board.
Yeah, I was gonna say all seven are new since
that's
then.
We got a brand new board since then. Yeah. So.
Thank God for that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because, Brian so Nimrod was very.
Use that
he said,
anymore.
I didn't change any prices on you. I said, well, why am I 40 grand short? And he said, that sounded like that procedures I did back in 2012. I said, well, no one was here. You better send it to me so I can prove to the board because I'm not going to have enough money to pay you.
You got his attention.
Yeah, he sent it the same day. The funny thing is he was away on a conference. He had Becky send it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing to bring you all up to date on why we're talking about that. The Herb Hernandez situation.
Oh, yeah, what's going on with that?
The attorney for Farming at the Farming meeting made a statement that it was unclear as to whether or not Herb was terminated for cause or without cause or, you know, whatever, and that they don't know whether he'd been paid, so he encouraged the board to settle, authorize them to negotiate a settlement with Herb. Well, the chairman of the board immediately said no to that.
The FARO board?
Yeah. He had to use a more colorful word, but I won't repeat it. and I basically told him, I said, well, you know, he had terminated for cause. There was a letter that was given to him advising him to terminate for cause, and then I was sending that to Farming, and the attorney said, well, he wasn't aware of that, and so he said that to him. When I said that to him, he had some follow-up questions. He wanted proof that Herb had been, you know, paid after he was done that, given that, and we found evidence that he was paid like $42,000 after he was terminated for a cause. But apparently, Mr. Hernandez is still wanting to follow suit, to forth the lawsuit, saying he was entitled to some other monies. But it's my understanding that when you're terminated for a cause, you know, those dollars that he's fighting for, you lose because you're terminated for cause. But again, that's up to the attorney.
Yeah, so we got lawyers for.
And we just providing him the information, and so they'll make that decision.
If it's for cause, they have to give the reason, though, right?
They gave it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty explicit reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If there's no further business, we will declare this meeting closed at 2:45.
Thank you.
Sounds good to me.
Have a nice week.
Okay. So we got a board meeting on Monday night.
Monday night. 6 p.m.
And we're gonna miss you, huh?
Yes, sir.
Too bad. Huh? I wish I could be with you.
Meeting adjourned at 2:45 p.m.
So she can take care of my father-in-law for a week while we take off and give my wife a week away and get her some relaxation.
I know how that is. Yeah.
She needs to be unstressed a little bit.
Well, don't you add to it now.
No, I don't.